What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Monday, September 30th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And look, I hope you guys had a good weekend. Obviously, Sunday, not great. Not a great Eagles day, as always tends to be the case in Tampa Bay, but hopefully outside of that, you guys did have a nice weekend. The bye week starts today. We'll have plenty of content for you throughout the week, but as is the case with most, well, with every daily pod, the day after a game, we're going to take a deeper dive into the Eagles game today and kind of hit on three main topics here, actually four main topics. I want to talk about the Jalen Hurts turnovers with audio from Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts talking about those turnovers. I want to talk about Saquon Barkley and the amount of touches he got. Should he have gotten the ball earlier? When could they have gotten him the ball? Jahan Dotson, his lack of targets. I talked to him about that, what he thinks about that. And then we're going to wrap this up with Hurts being asked by me whether or not him and Nick talk about kind of the team and setting the tone. And I have a lot to say about that. So before we get into all that and talk about this Eagles loss to Tampa Bay, I guess I should have said that at the jump, but I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you're well aware how that game went yesterday. Let's talk about what to keep an eye out for today. As I said, the Eagles do begin their bye week this week. The players will probably be in today before they head off for whatever they want to do during the bye week, whether it's stay here, go away, get away from it, stay in the facility, whatever they want to do. But we will hear from Nick Sirianni at 3:15 to talk about the loss, and I would guess some looking forward as well. So that'll be Nick, 3:15. Look out for tweets from that. That'll likely be played, I would think, on 94 WIP. So tune in to the afternoon show, which you should be doing anyway, at 3:15 to hear Nick Sirianni. Injury report. Look, this past week leading into the game, the injury report was a big deal on the Buccaneers side and on the Eagles side. The good news is, my guess is when they play the Browns coming out of the bye, they will have AJ, they will have Devontae, they will have Lane. I think all three are going to play coming out of the bye. As for this game, they really didn't suffer any serious long-term injuries or anything to really keep an eye on. Obviously, the bye week being this week is a big deal, but Johnny Wilson left the game with a concussion. No word on if he was diagnosed with that concussion, but you know, A, you just hope he's okay, right? Head injury, you hope that he's doing fine. But you would also think with the bye week this week, there's a good shot Johnny Wilson is healthy for the game against the Browns coming out of the bye. And then outside of that, Cam Jurgens left with cramps. Jalen Carter left with cramps. They were both in the locker room, seemed fine. And with how hot it was, you know, cramps are understandable. And then Reed Blankenship left with an illness. Didn't see him in the locker room, but you know, you would assume that's not something that's going to keep him out of the game coming out of the bye. So for all of the injury talk this past week, and you know, for all of the panic at 2-2, the Eagles are, it does seem, going to be completely healthy for that first game out of the bye. So I know that probably doesn't bring you much joy right now. I mean, it should. It'll be good to see the team healthy. But right now, it is not a victory Monday. It is a sad Monday, I would think, coming off of that game. So let's dive into kind of the four main things I wanted to talk about. And we'll start with Jalen Hurts' turnovers. So first, let's hear from Nick Sirianni. So the turnover Nick is asked about, and he's asked about the turnovers in general. And the main kind of premise here from Nick was that turnovers are a bit of a team stat. But let's hear Nick kind of explain the Jalen turnover, you know, why it happened and why he maybe doesn't completely pin it on Jalen. So here's Nick Sirianni on that.
All the guys are working their butts off as far as the turnover go. Again, we'll have to relook at ourselves as coaches to see if we're putting them in the doing the right things with them, because we're not winning. At the end of the day, we're -6. So we all got to own that. We all got to put our name on that. So, you know, we'll reevaluate that. And obviously, I haven't done a good enough job of that to date, because you know, last year we weren't great at the turnover battle, and this year we're not. So we'll, you know, like I said, everything will be everything, scheme, fundamentals will all be evaluated, because I said it last week, it's not sustainable when you don't win the turnover battle and you're down -6 on it. So everything will be evaluated.
So what I would say about this is I do think there is logic to what he's saying. Like, he's correct. If Jalen is in the pocket and is about to throw it, and if a defender beats the offensive lineman to get to Jalen, like, and the ball is mid being cocked back to throw, there's really nothing he can do. And I think there is truth to what Sirianni is saying there. But the other part of this, and James said that Tom Brady brought it up on the broadcast, is just having the pocket presence to know there are defenders around you. And if you do put the ball up in the air to start the throwing process, it could get hit away. Now, that's not been a problem with Jalen throughout his career. You know, a lot of his fumbles come while running the ball, not a ton come in the pocket while throwing. So I don't think this is a huge red flag for him. But I mean, it's clearly on him. Like, I don't know what else to say. I know Nick, you know, says it's not, but it is. I mean, Jalen has to be aware that there's defenders around him, and he can't do that. He can't do that. So I think the turnover does fall on him. Obviously, Nick's going to defend him, and Nick is right that ultimately everything that's out there is on him. They have to work with Jalen to make Jalen better. We talk so much with coaching about X's and O's, but a large part of coaching is getting your players better. And ultimately, while Jalen has to be better taking care of the football, this isn't Little League. It's not like Nick's teaching him how to play the game. It is on Nick too. I mean, if the Eagles gave Jalen $250 million and Nick can't fix the turnover problem with Jalen, they will get a coach in here that they think can. Fair or not, like, Nick has to help Jalen with this turnover problem. So how bad are the turnover problems? You know, we talked about a bit in the postgame, but Jalen now has 27 turnovers in his last 22 games. And to make things even worse, you want to talk about multi-turnover games. He already has two in 2024, so half the games this year he's turned it over more than once. In 2023, he turned it over, had five multi-turnover games. So over the last 22 games, there's seven times he's turned the ball over more than once in the game. That is basically one out of every three games, the Eagles are getting two-plus turnovers from their quarterback. You just simply can't win like that. And as a result, the Eagles are never winning the turnover battle. They've won the turnover battle four times in the past 22 games. Now, obviously, and Nick talked about this, when a team is minus six in turnovers, that is a team stat because the defense also does have to create turnovers. But if you look, the defense has forced a turnover in 14 of the last 22 games. So twice every three games, they're forcing a turnover. You know, that's a decent percentage. A defense is not going to force a turnover every week. Now, they're not forcing two or three turnovers every week. They don't have a ton of multi-turnover games. But if you force a turnover 14 times in 22 games, you should win the majority of the turnover battles. But the Eagles have won only four times in the past 22 games because their quarterback has turned it over multiple times, seven times in those 22 games. So there's just no getting around it. Like, Nick can say whatever he wants. I know Nick has to make him better. It is a team stat. The problem is the quarterback turning the ball over. That is the problem with this team. The injuries hurt them, obviously. The coaching hasn't been great at times. Nick's situational calls always haven't been perfect. Like, not every player has played a great game over those 22 game stretches. AJ's had drops. Like, it's not all on Jalen that the team's struggling. But the main struggle is the turnovers. They cannot win with a quarterback that turns it over this much. So Jalen Hurts was asked about those turnovers in general and just being better. And here's what Jalen had to say.
You know, I think overall, I just have to play better. I got to play better. We have a ton of opportunities to lead the offense and really play complimentary ball. And it starts with me on that side of the ball. And I would get down like we did. I have to help the defense out, executing, communicating, you know, the things that I'm seeing on the field, and just trying to really create the momentum that we need just to get in the end zone. It starts with me in terms of getting in the end zone and leading drives, and I didn't do a good enough job with that.
So we're going to talk about another one of Jalen's answers later on with Nick Sirianni, which I didn't think was a great answer, or we'll dive into it. But for as much as Jalen is sometimes criticized for his press conferences, right? Kind of monotone, you know, he does the expressions. I've been around a lot of quarterbacks and players that have talked about needing to be better. I covered Carson Wentz, and I do believe Carson Wentz wanted to play better. No athlete is out there just lying and saying, oh, I don't want to play better. Like, yeah, all quarterbacks and all players want to play better. But there is a difference between just saying it because you know you have to say it and actually meaning it. I will say this, being right there next to Jalen when he was talking about that and giving that answer, I thought it was extremely genuine. I do think Jalen knows he has to be better with the football. I do think Jalen knows that he didn't help the defense out. For as much as people want to rip the defense for falling behind 24-0, which was not good. Like, that was not good. But there have been times this year, a lot of times, where the offense has struggled early and the defense has saved them. Green Bay, Atlanta, the Saints. In fact, all three games before this Tampa game, the offense didn't score a single first quarter point, and the defense kept them in the game, and ultimately they were able to win two of those games. I believe when Jalen says it's on me, that I'm the one that has to get the drives going. I'm the one that has to help the defense. I don't think it was just lip service. I don't think it was just saying what people want him to say. I genuinely believe Jalen knows he needs to play better, and that's encouraging. Now, will he play better? We'll see about that. Like, you know, it's been a long stretch of him turning the ball over. But I don't think this is, like, sometimes Carson would be like, it's on me, it's on me. And I felt like he was just saying it. I do think this is pretty genuine from Jalen. So I thought that answer was encouraging for, you know, if you want to hope that this problem will get fixed, I think Jalen is like, A, we know he's a great worker. B, we know that he really, really cares. And I think he was genuine in saying that he knows he has to be better. He has to fix it. Like, he can say it all he wants and sound genuine, but I think he was genuine in saying that he knows he has to be better. So that is the turnover problem. Obviously, one we're going to talk about a ton this week on Go Birds and on WIP. But now let's talk about something else that's definitely going to be a talking point that people are very worked up about. The lack of touches for Saquon Barkley. So Nick Sirianni was asked about the lack of touches for Saquon. And here's what he had to say when asked about it.
We had nine plays. I mean, you had nine plays. And three of them are third downs. So now, you know, he had two carries and on six plays. I mean, that's the way football. I mean, when you go three and out, that no one's going to have any touches. Nobody's going to have any, like, nobody's going to have any catches. We weren't sustained drives. That's another, you know, we can say what about the defense, but we weren't sustaining drives on offense. And so they were on the field a lot early on and a lot of plays. But I think if you see the flow of the game, you understand why that happened. But, I mean, obviously we want them to get the touches of the ball, but when you don't sustain drives, then you're not going to be able to. Obviously, on the one where we did, you know, get into it, I think it was at the fourth drive where we scored, or fourth. Then you got a first down. You're able to go on the ball. You're able to get him a couple carries there. But on second and 12, I mean, you can run it there to try to get him another carry, but you're trying to get yourself a little bit back to make sure you're in a third and manageable. Listen, we didn't coach well enough. We didn't play well enough.
So his answer, not going over well, as is mostly the case whenever a head coach loses. Nothing he says normally goes over well. So Saquon ends the day with 10 carries for 84 yards. Obviously had that big 59-yard run. So outside of that, didn't have a ton of success carrying the ball and had four targets. So in theory, the Eagles, you know, 10 carries, four targets, that's 14 attempts to get him the ball. He caught two of those, so 12 total touches. And look, 12 total touches is not enough. Like, with Devontae out, with AJ out, with Lane not there, they needed to get their best player more involved. Full stop. Like, they just had to. 12 touches, not enough. Said it on the postgame pod. You have to find chances to get him the ball. So what I did, now not in the heat of the moment, not in the heat of the game, go back and look at the first few possessions to see when they had a chance to get him the ball. Because as Nick said, they had nine plays on their first three possessions. So it's, you know, you're not going to get Saquon 12 touches on nine plays. Like, it's just not going to happen. So where could they have given him the ball? All right, so let's start here. And this is going to be a little in the weeds, but this is what it is. If you want to criticize him for not giving, if you want to criticize Nick and Kellen Moore for not getting Saquon the ball, let's look at where they could have done it. So the first possession, they get the ball, they're down 7-0. Doesn't have to alter your play calling a ton, but they are down 7-0. First play, it looks like it's obviously a pass, and this is the long pass to Saquon that's incomplete by Jalen Hurts, where should have been a better throw, could have been a touchdown. If Jalen makes a better throw, the first play game is a 75-yard touchdown to Saquon Barkley, and nobody's talking about trying to get him involved. But Jalen misses him. Now, I will say the play did not look to be designed for Saquon, but regardless, there was a chance there to get Saquon the ball. Second play, a run to Saquon. So the first play doesn't work. They get the ball to Saquon on the second play. 0 yards. So now you're in a 3rd and 10 situation. You're not going to run it there. So you can't kill him for not giving Saquon the ball there. So as of now, they're 2 for 2 in targeting him. Like, 2 plays, 2 attempts to get it to Saquon, and then on 3rd and 10, you're not going to do it. If Hurts hits the first pass, it's a touchdown. You could argue just run it there, but the first 2 plays of the game were attempts to Saquon Barkley. Okay, second possession. Now they're down 14-0. Again, I don't think this has to alter how you call the game, but you're down 14-0, so there is some urgency to get points here. First play, pass to Dallas Goedert. Second play, a run to Saquon. Third play, it's 3rd and 7. You're not going to run it there. Hurts drops back, and he's sacked. So I do think you could have legitimately given it to Saquon on the first drive. You're down on the first play. You're down 14-0. You want to calm things down. You want to give the defense some rest. I think that would have been an opportunity to get Saquon the ball. Now, they did pass it to Dallas Goedert. Like, Dallas Goedert had 170 yards last week. Dallas Goedert made a huge play. So I don't think throwing it to Goedert is a you know, terrible play call there. But you could have ran it. So I think that would be fair. But the second play, they do run it to give it to Saquon. So now on the 2 non-3rd downs, of the 4 plays that have not been 3rd down they've ran so far, 3 have gone to Saquon. So they're 3 for 4 on non-3rd downs getting the ball to Saquon. All right, so now you're at the 3rd possession. You've run 9 plays, you have 0 yards, and you are down 21-0. Now, I do understand, like, we need some urgency here. But the flip side of that is run the ball and give your defense some time. Like, give the ball to your best player. The first play, deep pass, incomplete. So now you're at 2nd and 10. It's a pass to Saquon, not a run, a pass to Saquon. And then 3rd play, incomplete to Dotson. It's 3rd and 10. You're not going to run it there. But the 3rd possession is really where, you know, maybe you needed to run the ball to Saquon and calm things down. So far through 3 possessions, I think there is fair criticism of trying to get Saquon the ball more, but there is also an effort to do it. Like, it's not working, but there were some times they could have done it. But overall, I do see where, you know, you could have given it to him on the first play of the 2nd possession. You could have given it to him on the first play of the 3rd possession. Like, there were opportunities to start drives by giving the ball to Saquon. So the 4th possession, we're really diving into the weeds here. You're down 24-0 at this point. The first 3 plays are passes. I understand that. You get a first down. Again, could have run, but ultimately you did get a first down. So the first set of plays work. The next 2 plays are runs to Saquon. The next play is a run to Saquon. And then you're 1st and goal at the 6, and you have 3 straight Saquon runs. So obvious effort at this point to get Saquon the ball. So where do I fall down? One, I do think that there were times on the 2nd and 3rd possession to get Saquon the ball to start. But overall, they clearly tried to get Saquon the ball. Didn't work. Jalen missed him for that touchdown. You know, they got into 3rd and non-running situations. But I think they tried to get Saquon the ball. It just didn't work. And I think there's really only 2 plays you can kill him for where they should have got Saquon the ball. And even that really was more to calm things down, not like an effort to get things going. So I think the criticism is fair because of that. You have to find ways to get him the ball. But at the same time, when you look at the first 4 possessions, they did. They did try to get Saquon the ball. So here is what Saquon Barkley had to say when asked about wanting more touches. And he kind of echoes, you know, what we just went over.
See the ball a little bit more earlier. I mean, you get your share of touches. They were legally coming in earlier in the game where you guys don't have 3-year offensive starters. You'd like to see the ball a little more?
Yeah, it's tough when you're down 21-0. That's it. It comes with being a running back. But, you know, when I'm able to get going, I think the offensive line do a really good job, and I think I'm getting a better feel for them throughout the season. So, 2-2 right now. Obviously, it would be like 3-1, 4-0. Going to bye week, get healthier, and continue to get better and find what our identity is.
Yeah, so as he says, it's life of a running back. They have to get back in the drawing board. Like, this is the tough part of your best player being a running back. Like, the Giants lived through this, and hopefully the Eagles are not going to live through this with Saquon. But when your best player is a running back and you're down, you have to throw the ball. That just is what it is, especially when you're down 24-0. So could have been better at getting Saquon the ball. I think there was more of an attempt than people are giving the Eagles credit for. But ultimately, they leaned on the pass to start drives early on. And when those weren't successful, they were then in situations not to run the ball. Speaking of throwing the ball, Jahan Dotson. So with A.J. Brown and Saquon, and Saquon was not out. With A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith out, the idea was that Dotson was going to be more involved. Dotson finishes the day, 4 targets. So, you know, not enough targets, but that's not one target. 4 targets for 2 catches and a whopping 11 yards. Obviously, no impact on the game. On the year, he has 9 targets for 5 catches, totaling 25 yards. I did ask Jahan Dotson about the lack of targets, and here's what he had to say.
I'm trying to stay positive. You have to. Try to get something going. Try to get things going. Try to stay patient. It just had us. Wasn't our day. We got to be better. We'll get better. We'll get healthier. That's a big thing for us. So I think moving forward will be good. We got to look over the tape and correct some things.
Based off the week of practice, did you expect to be maybe more involved in the offense considering, you know, you guys were missing the top 2 receivers?
We had the right play calls. It was just a matter of executing. My opportunities, if they come, they come. If they don't, they don't. Just try to make the most of them. Take advantage of every single one I get. I feel like we just got to get back to the drawing board. That's all it is. Just execute.
So here's the thing. I find it hard to kill Jahan Dotson for this. There is a very real world where maybe Jahan Dotson was not worth a 3rd-round pick. There is also a very real world where Jahan Dotson could be a player good enough for a 3rd-round pick, but the Eagles don't get the value of a 3rd-round pick out of him. In order for Jahan Dotson to get the ball, the play call needs to be right, and Jalen has to get him the ball. Now, he also has to win at the line of scrimmage and get open, but the play call has to be for him, and Jalen has to get him the ball. In his answer, he kind of insinuates the play calls early on were him. He said the play calls were good, we just have to execute. Now, I'm reading between the lines here. I did not ask Jahan this, so I'm truly reading between the lines. But if the question is, why didn't you get more targets, essentially, and he says the play calls were correct, we have to execute, that certainly seems to imply he felt the play calls were there for him to get the ball. Like, all week, they practice plays. Like, he knows the plays that are called for him. So it seems like the play calls were there. Now, maybe the defense played them differently. Maybe there were plays where Jalen didn't have time in the pocket, and as a result, the ball didn't come out. Maybe Jalen didn't like what he sees. But while it is easy to criticize Jahan Dotson, I think the criticism right now is more on the Eagles. If you're going to trade a 3rd for Jahan Dotson, like, you have to get him more involved here, especially if, like we talked about with Saquon, you're going to pass on early downs. You have to find ways to get him involved, and it's on him as well. But this feels like more of an organizational failure than a hot Jahan Dotson failure. Certainly possible Jahan Dotson is just not that good. That is possible. But I think the issue right now is more with the play calling and the quarterback in terms of getting Dotson involved. I mean, Dotson's not dropping passes. Like, you know, the ball's just not going his way. So I don't think it's like a lack of separation, not getting open. I think it's the plays they're trying to call are being messed up for one reason or another. But yeah, 4 targets, 2 catches for 11 yards, not good enough in a game where they needed them. And as I mentioned, 9 targets for 5 catches, totaling 25 yards. If you look, that is actually, you know, considerably more targets than the Eagles' 3rd receiver got last year. Last year, Quez had 2 targets in the first 4 games. Alamide Zaccheaus, I think, you know, had roughly the same, maybe 1 or 2 more, but they didn't have a ton more targets for their 3rd wide receiver last year. And this is the issue with the trade. Like, if AJ and Devontae were healthy, then really it was going to come down to Jahan making 1 or 2 big plays when he has the chance and that being worth it. Like, catching that ball in the Super Bowl. If Quez catches that ball and the Eagles win the Super Bowl, then yeah, that's worth a 3rd-round pick. But the other part was you needed him to be a bigger impact player in these moments like this when AJ and especially AJ and Devontae aren't there, and he just wasn't today. So yeah, it falls on everybody, but the Jahan Dotson trade not looking good so far. All right, I'm sure that was not fun for anybody to relive. But on the other side, let's talk about the Jalen Hurts answer to a question I asked him. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so after the game, there was a lot of talk from players on the team about trying to find an identity. I think Saquon said it. A few players kind of brought it up. They need to find their identity. They need to figure out who they are. And obviously, they're in a tough stretch. They just lost. They didn't play great against the Saints. They had that loss against the Falcons. They're 2-2. Which I think is a fair record, but standing 2-2, I don't think you're feeling great about that if you're the Eagles, obviously coming off last year. So going into the bye, it is an important time for this team. They have to regroup. They have to see what they're doing. They have to just like get things going again. And as a result, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are going to have a large part of turning this around. They are the leaders of the team. Whether we want to say they are or not, the quarterback and the head coach are the leaders. Jalen, as the quarterback, is the leader, and Nick Sirianni is the one that leads the team meetings. He sets, like, he's the head coach. I don't need to explain why he matters. So I thought I would ask Jalen if they talk about, like, being on the same page, about setting the message, about in what's going to be an important week for the team, or really over the first month, but especially going ahead. Do they talk like, hey, I think this is important this week? Like, they're both so into leadership. It certainly seems like something they would enjoy talking about or would see a need to talk to about together. So here's what I asked Jalen, and here's what he had to say.
Jalen, you and Nick are obviously big voices on the team as the head coach and the quarterback. As you enter the bye and you want to find an identity, do you two talk about maybe, you know, what you want the message to be to the team or how you kind of want to handle, you know, as you guys go into the second part of the year?
We have our moments.
So I don't see how that is anything but like a somewhat concerning answer. Now, look, there could be a million things going on. The press conference was ending. Maybe Jalen just wanted to get out of it. Maybe Jalen was annoyed we were talking about this after they just lost a game. Maybe Jalen's annoyed at me because I keep all the training camp stats and now he has the turnovers and like, who knows? It could be anything. But what it comes across as is that another opportunity to kind of talk about his relationship with Nick was passed over, right? Like, we have our moments. Like, that's it. Like, the question is about leadership and setting a message for the team. Like, you can't give more detail. You can't talk about how you and Nick do work on it. Or so I think there's a couple of different ways to look at this. Either A, he's just not going to ever compliment Nick. He very, very rarely compliments Nick. When he's asked questions that are obvious compliment Nick situations, he just doesn't do it. Like, maybe it's just not who he is, but he does compliment his teammates. And I do think Jalen is a good guy. He won't do it. Like, he just never goes on long rants or like gives long answers complimenting Nick. The other possible thing, and I think this would be the more concerning thing, is that they are not talking about this and that they are not communicating a ton and that they don't have discussions about where the team is at and that they're not meeting one-on-one and that they don't have a great relationship. Like, that is kind of the takeaway, and you should watch the video too, because I, you know, like, it's a very short answer. Like, he just moves on from it. And this kind of comes back to what we started the season with. Now, Jalen had the first press conference at training camp, and a lot of people felt he handled it well, and they were moving on. And then there was the clip of them riding around in the golf cart, and everyone was smiling, right? Stuff like this, like, it's worrisome. Now, obviously, Tim McManus of ESPN wrote a story in training camp talking about how, you know, basically saying, like, you won't see Nick and Jalen going to dinner. Like, that's the kind of answer it is. And we can say it doesn't matter. We can say, you know, they don't have to be great friends. They don't have to work together. I don't know, man. Like, me and James are great friends. And I know it's different, but when there is something to be discussed with the pod, like, we have a relationship where we can discuss it. If you and a coworker that are in some position of power are managing people and there's a big project, like, you have to have discussions about it. I just don't know if the Eagles can be successful with the head coach and quarterback that it doesn't sound like are having any substantive discussions about whether it's game planning, whether it's, you know, the tone for the team, whether it's whatever. Like, it just, I don't get the vibe they talk. So when the report from Tim comes out, and obviously Tim does a fantastic job, saying you don't think you'd see him at dinner together, and then there's that kind of answer. Like, the Eagles need the leadership to all be on the same page. Like, you might think Nick does a bad job. You might think Howie, like, missed on this. Nick and Howie have a good relationship. You might think that Howie is just saying, you know, doing whatever to keep his job because of Jeffrey Lurie. Jeffrey and Howie have a good relationship. Like, the top three in the four-person totem pole, Jeffrey, Howie, Nick, all have a good relationship. They talk, like, right? It just feels like Nick and Jalen don't. And this season is not in peril. This season is not almost over. They have winnable games coming up. But there are going to be tough moments where they have to, the top two people in the football side, besides Howie, have to talk and be on the same page. And the answer he gave, the reaction from everybody was, wow, he doesn't seem to like Nick. You can't have a quarterback and head coach that either A, don't like each other, which is more concerning, or B, everybody thinks don't like each other. They can do all whatever they want. And like, yes, the turnovers have to stop. And if they stop turning it over, all of a sudden, you know, they'll start winning and it won't matter. But it just does. Like, it just does. And this is just another example where it feels like they really, like, there's like the top of this thing is just not great. And so we'll see moving forward. I'm sure they'll talk about it again. Like, but it just wasn't a good week for the seeing if Nick and Jalen are on the same page thing. And, you know, this is probably a pod for another day, but maybe ultimately the Eagles are going to have to decide if they want to side with Nick or if they want to side with Jalen. I know people will say the contract is why they'll side with Jalen, but I don't know if that's the case. But that, my friends, is probably a topic for another day. You know, I said this at the end of the last pod, and I wanted to say it again, and I do mean it. I know that when the Eagles lose, it sucks. Like, you don't want to listen to it. You don't want to watch it. It's one of those things where the highlights come on that night and you flip the channel. But I do truly appreciate everybody that takes the time to listen to the pod. I always say it's a roller coaster. I got my ups and downs sweater. This is a down, but you know what? It's better because we're doing it together. So I love you all. Thank you all so much for listening. There will be plenty of Go Birds content throughout the week. And as we always say, he's Elliot. I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.